Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, Judea's here. Galilee is there. And in between is Samaria. Now, what's Samaria? Well, Samaria, if you will, is where Israel, 10 tribes used to be, but the Assyrians came in and they basically took most of the people away. They left the poor there. But what they did was they took Assyrians and they put them in that region and they intermarried. So the Samaritans, if you will, became half-breeds. But not only that, but they left, if you will, the way of the Lord, but then they kind of made this hodgepodge of a religion. And the religion was basically this, and we'll find out as we get into this, is that there's a reason why that they're there at this place. And they built a temple. It's on Mount Gerizim. And the reason why is because Abraham, when he came in, that was the first place he built an altar. And that God promised him the land. It was also the place where the blessings when the Israelites came into the territory that they were on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, and they pronounced the blessings. So the Samaritans figured, well, that's also where the law was given, and they just kind of put all this stuff. This is where Abraham tried to, well, Abraham was about ready to sacrifice his son. You know, the Lord stopped him. But supposedly here, and this is where the temple was supposed to be built. So they kind of did a hodgepodge, but they also added other things to it. So they weren't, if you will, true worshipers of God. But I want you to take note of something, and I know we've talked about this several times. Notice that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Now, most Jews, what they would do is that they would go around. Either through Pierra, which is across the Jordan, or they go by the coast, hugging it. But very rarely they would go straight through Samaria. Why? Because the Samaritans did not like the Jews, and the Jews did not like the Samaritans. But Jesus needed to go through Samaria. This very purpose to meet with this woman. He was wearied, which again reveals something of his humanity. Just check this out. Think this through with me. Jesus, God, clothed himself in flesh. We know in Scripture that he never grows weary. He never sleeps or slumbers. Now he's in a human body. Now he's experiencing things just like you and I experience. Hunger, thirst, tired. And here he's weary. And so, again, it's a good indication for all of us, an understanding that Jesus, God, became a man. Fully human. Still fully God. A woman of Samaria, verse 7, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Now the sixth hour was either, depends, if it was Jewish time, then it would be around noon. If it was Roman time, it would be about 6 p.m. Now there's a great reason to believe that this is noon. And we'll get into that in a second. But Jesus is by this well by the heat of the day. He's tired and he's thirsty. And he asked the Samaritan woman, "Give me a drink." His disciples went in to buy some food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" For again, Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, it doesn't take too much of an imagination. This is a woman, if you will, of the world. She's been burned by men many a times. You can tell she's grown hard. She's accustomed to men always wanting. Want, 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 want. You can feel the sarcasm spilling out. What are you, a Jewish man, asking me, a Samaritan woman, for anything? The first thing I want you to take note of is somebody that's hard in this world only sees things through sarcasm and pessimism. I grew up watching people grow old and grow pessimistic, critical. There's something about this woman that Jesus knew about, and we'll talk about that. So how is it? Jesus, verse 10, answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. I know why you're here, but I know what's really missing in your life. I see you. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank it from himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? What are you trying to tell me? Jacob's well's here. And you know, actually, it's one of those sites in Israel that they're, you know, everybody agrees that this is the well. In Israel, this is Jacob's well. And again, it's by Mount Gerizim. And it's in view of it. But the well was, again, dug by Jacob. So this was something special. And it was, because it was actually fed by a spring underneath, but it was deep. In fact, about 150 feet deep, they estimate at this time. So it took, as you guess, a rope and a bucket to get it out. And she stared at him like, okay, so how are you getting this water? I mean, what do you think I am? Some kind of idiot or something? What do you have? Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? See, when you're in the world, you don't hear the spiritual truths. You just, again, see things black and white. No more wonder. No more awe. Just another day of coming to this well, which she did every day to draw water. At noon, more likely because, again, of the way she's been living. Not with the other women, because women usually go together. No, she was by herself. Which shows us that, again, that the women weren't acceptable of her accepting. So she was by herself. So not only she sees, if you will, the hypocrisy of men, she also sees the hypocrisy of women. She's probably someone that didn't have any friends except for male companions and friends. At least she knew about men. Because, you know, men are pretty simple. We are. What you see is pretty much what you get. Now, a woman, now that's a mystery. And it's one that keeps us, simple folk, hanging on, trying to figure you out. And just when we think we understand you, something else changes. We all change. Now, her, again, she's got a worldly wisdom. And that wisdom, again, that outsmarts herself. Jesus answered, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of living water, springing up into everlasting life. You drink this water, you're going to thirst again. You drink of the well that I give, and you'll never thirst again. See, Jesus is telling us something if we hear, if we listen, and it's a simple truth. The simple truth, again, that will beckon us to come, but again, we can be standoffish, sarcastic, because it can't be really that true, is it? I mean, really bubbling up out from you? Living water? Now, again, the woman listening to this, again, it's just a bunch of mumble jumbo. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst and come here to draw every single day. Give me what you're offering here so I can physically not have to come here anymore. I don't understand, again, side note, what you're talking about spiritually, but if you have this water, then give it to me so, again, my labor is easy rather than harder. Give me this water." See, now, if we take this to a little side here and do it spiritually, then we understand something here. See, the problem with most of us, again, when we come before the Lord, even when we enter these doors, sometimes it was the mentality of, "Lord, give me. Lord, give me." Some of you have that on your mind right now. "Lord, I've come here because I need something from you." And see, what it does is it misses the whole point of what we're really getting down to, and it's called worship. Because, again, it's what we lack is what we seek. And the whole truth is what are we seeking? What was she seeking? What does she want? What does she really want? Because, again, it takes some digging. And thank God that Jesus is patient. He also perseveres. Jesus hits her right between the eyes. "Go call your husband. Come here." The woman said quickly, abruptly, "I have no husband. I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and no one whom you now have is not your husband. And that you spoke truly, you're shacking up with some guy right now." You know, it's the old saying. It's the old saying that you're looking for something that you can't find because you're looking in the wrong place. It's an interesting thing, and the Bible always trips me out with this. See, she lives in Sukkar. And you say, Sukkar, so? It's a fun name to say. Sukkar. Well, what does it mean? It means drunken. The root word means a very strong drink. A picture to sidestep, to shove away to the side? No, it's a picture again drawn to us here. Why? Because here's a woman that lives in a town that's known for drinking, if you will, even by the name. But not only that, but she too probably drank more than she should. And maybe she is, if you will, what we would call a barmaid. A woman that is constantly looking for love in the wrong places. A woman that constantly, if you will, drinks to a stupor. And maybe that too is why she's coming so late. Maybe she just got up. And maybe too, as she's trying to find her fulfillment in men, in love, somebody to love me. Because, if you will, that's the core of all of us, is that need to be loved, that need to be wanted, that need to be appreciated. And see, that's what she wants. That's what she's coming for. Give me this. And so many times that's what we do with God. Give me this self-worth. Give me this so I can be satisfied. Give me this so I know what it means to be content and loved. Give me. But see, Jesus is doing something here that, again, if we will, we have to let Him do to us. Not to give me, but to search me. The woman said to Him, verse 19, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." The Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place one ought to worship. Notice the sidestep. Oh, we do it too. When we say, "Search me," and then the Lord searches us and shows us, and pushes that part that hurts. You know that part. That part right there that you don't like to go to, but you go to in the middle of the night. You go to in those times of loneliness, in the time of emptiness. That's the place you go because that's the place hurts. Why? Because you've been hurted. Every one of you have been hurted. So have I. The sad part is too, is that we look to the other side and I have hurt others. This is a hurting world. So I don't want to go there. When the Lord points at the hurt, you know, I always say this because now he's sitting here, and I used to use this as an illustration when he wasn't here too. But my oldest son and I worked with my hands constantly in my life. I always bleed. I'm always cut. I always do. Every time I work, I bleed. I can't explain it. I cut myself and I don't think about it and I keep working. And then I notice there's red all over the place and I got to go back with a rag and wipe it all off. I work with one guy every once in a while. He always likes to, okay, hey, oh, you're bleeding now. I was waiting for it. There it is. But see, I would come home and it would be like a gaping wound. And I never show my wife because she's not going to look at me. Why? Because when we first married, I had a cut. And it was a pretty good sized one, but I had it taped really good. And she goes, I want to see it. I'm like, you don't need to see this. No, I want to see it. So I rip out the Band-Aid and she's almost fainting. Oh my gosh, you got to go to the emergency. Sorry about that, I spiked it. You gotta go to the emergency, you're gonna die. I mean, you know, she wasn't like saying that, but she made me go to the hospital, and the doctor was not gentle, and it was the last time I ever went, and it was the last time she ever asked me to go. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because my son, when I would come home, and I'd have these sores, he would sit there and take his finger and be poking it, and going, Dad, does that hurt, Dad? Only when you do that, son. Dad, it's bleeding again. Yeah, it's because you're poking it, son. You mind not poking it? It hurts. And that's the way the wounds are in our heart, is when God touches it, it hurts. We don't want to go there. When you touch my hurt, I don't want to go there. When I touch your hurt, you don't want to go there. But see, God wants us to come with a heart that's bleeding. Not so he can poke it. Understand? This woman didn't want to go there. But what she do? She sidestepped. Kind of like what we do. Kind of like what the world does too. That when you're witnessing to other people, I don't know if you've had this experience, but so many times they'll go to us as a religion. Why are there so many denominations? Why is there so many discrepancies in the Bible? Which is not true. Why? And then they just give you this. This is what she's doing. She's sidestepping it. Where do we worship? You say the Jews in Temple Mount. We say at this mountain. Which one's true? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Wow. Why is that interesting? Because I think many churches miss this. Many of us miss this. See, salvation is of the Jews. How is that to be? It's because, first of all, we have to understand that Scripture was written by Jews. Inspired by God. The Jews. Why is that important? Because, see, the Jews were waiting for, if you will, the Jews. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah. The Jews were looking and waiting for the Messiah anointed to be king. The Jews was waiting for their Redeemer. Now, think this through with me. Here's Jesus, a Jew, speaking to a Samaritan, a non-Jew, telling her, right off the bat, touching the wound. Salvation is not of anybody else but through the Jew. Can you receive this? Can you accept this? The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The hour is coming. The hour of coming for what? That the Messiah, the Jew, the Lamb, will offer himself as a sacrifice, which they were doing for ceremonial purposes, for generation after generation at the Temple Mount. But the true Lamb was going to be sacrificed. He was going to die. The hour is coming that his death, his resurrection, his ascension, for redemption. But the hour is coming now, and the true worshipers, the worshipers that will come open-hearted, understanding their own sin, the true worshiper would come to worship the Father. Understand this, though. This now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The Father, listen to this, the Father, please hold on to this, the Father seeks those who will worship Him. Or we can relate this to the story. Woman, we don't even know her name. Why is she nameless? Search your name. You'll know her in heaven, but insert your name. Why? I'm not like the Samaritan woman. Oh, but you are. Even if you're a man, you are. Why can I say that? Because see, Jesus was telling her, Jesus is telling us, God was seeking you. See, the reason why I had to go through Samaria was to find you, because you're a true worshiper. Could you imagine if that's how he said it to her? I'm here because you're a true worshiper and I've sought you. Me? You just convicted me. You just convicted me and told me that I'm shacking up with a guy and I was married 5 times. I'm still looking for love. And you're telling me that the Father was seeking me, a true worshiper? How can this be? What are you talking about? How do you see me? How do you know me? What do you know? God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, it's an interesting thing, because a lot of times we want to grab onto that spirit and picture it's the Holy Spirit in truth. But what Jesus is saying is your spirit. To worship Him in your spirit and in truth. See, she was talking about the temple. The temple in Jerusalem, or the temple here. And if you will, Jesus was standing there, and He is the temple of God. But see, His Spirit too desires for all to come to worship Him in your spirit. Because see, when you and I came to Christ, we became His temple. And it's His desire for us to come back to the one that gave us the Spirit and breath, so that we would come back to the purpose that He created us, was to worship and fellowship and commune with Him. It's your Spirit. He wants us to understand that the hour that has come is that He has done something totally new. That He's come to seek and to find that which was lost. That He's come to seek and find those that really have that desire to know Him and fellowship with Him in all truth. Truth to ourselves, but also truth to understand His Word. His truth. Not how we make it up, but how He's revealed it. First in His Word, and second in the Word that became flesh, that stands before us. It stood before this woman. Because we get all caught up in the doing. We get all caught up in what we think is right. But we get caught up in how we perceive what worship really is. Now remember last week we talked about how a woman had to come to the grips of the understanding of how far away she was. And here he was sitting there. How much forgiven she was when he said, "You're forgiven." How much appreciation of that forgiveness. And now we have a woman here who's hard in life, that everything that she desires deep down inside, she can't put a name on it. She can't put a focus on it. She doesn't understand it. All she's trying to do is satisfy herself in the physical needs. Just as so many of us in the church, the physical needs. Make me feel better. Make me see better. Help me with this. Help me with that. And again, true worshipers must come because the Father is seeking such to see something of truth, but not as you perceived it, not as I perceived it, not as she has perceived it yet. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming who is called Christ. When He comes, He'll tell us all things." Ah, so she does know. See, she is waiting. She has the perception there's got to be somebody that has the answers. There's got to be somebody that knows where to go. That knows the truth. That can see me for something more than I just a woman. There's got to be somebody, and I believe He's coming. Jesus again is touching the wound in her heart. Touching her right where her need really is. She begins by saying, "When the Messiah comes, He will tell us all things." And the focus comes. Do you ever do those focus things? Whether it's on a pier, you have to move it. Focus in. And this is where it becomes so crystal clear, because Jesus makes it completely plain. Verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." No. Let me make it a little more literal. "I am" speaks to you. It's the first I am statement. I'm the God that you were worshiping, but not focused correctly. I am the God who's come down to redeem. I am. See, she had to go from somewhere. Just like each of us. See, she first saw Him as a Jew, as a man. Then she progressed. She gave Him respect. She called Him Sir. Or Kyrios. Master. She uses it three times, so it builds. She sees Him as somebody that she respects. But then she comes with even the understanding that, no, you're a prophet. I see you even clearer. But you're a prophet. But then it comes in crystal clear when she sees that He is the great I am.
Hey folks, that's what worship's about. Not what we get, but Him. It's all Him. But why this one who breathed into His creation, who breathed into us a spirit to be made in His image, that we could fellowship with Him, that we can actually have a close communion with Him. Even the times that I don't feel Him, He says, do you see me? And just worship me. The depths of your being, that which hurts and everything else set aside. Because wait a minute, that's what she does. Will you look at this? What does she do? What's her reaction? At this point, verse 27, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. Yet no one said, who do you seek or why are you talking with her? And the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Him. She left it. The reason why she went, she left it. She found the most essential thing in life. With a question that she already had the answer. She went to not the women, because I think she would have been rejected. But she went to the men that probably associate with her, if you will, in our terminology, at the local bar. Could this be Him? See, she was so excited she left the water pot, because now it doesn't matter. The physical need didn't matter. Why? Because this one touched her where it hurt. And brought her to an understanding, a focus of what really matters is that the one who created all things, that breathed life into us and gave us His Spirit and made us into spiritual beings that can commune now with Him, touched her. And He was in true focus. The others, they came. Look at verse 39. We're in this. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with Him, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. From Jew to Sir to Prophet to Messiah to Savior of the whole world. Because the Messiah was to the Jew. No, He's for the whole world. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Did it stir something inside you? I pray that it did. Did it move you in such a way of saying, me? He sought me? Oh, I hope it gives you clearer vision. It's not about what you've done. It's what He did. And when we come to worship Him, it's because, oh, He's so worthy. He did it all. So see, now the focus is true and clear now. I see Him. Not only because of what we're speaking through His Word, but His Spirit is now speaking to my heart. It's telling me to come and commune with Him. Don't worry about what you need. He says, come commune with me. Don't worry about how you've messed up. Come commune with me. Don't worry how you keep trapped within your own mind, within your own sin, with your past hurts, your past failures. Commune with me, for I sought you. Isn't that wonderful? So we come and we bend our knee, in part submission, but part honoring. We lift our hands, show that they're empty, because there's nothing I can bring. They're totally empty, but it's also because I'm adoring. I come with an open heart, not to receive what I think I need, but to receive Him who knows my needs. So I come in wonder. We just set the kids off, and I'll finish with this. Ever amazed at how easy it is for kids to wonder? It doesn't take much. I used to do these stupid, simple magic tricks. And it used to just be they would be in awe when they're really young. I could do this disappearing act, and I just took a blanket and stood by a corner and threw it up and went back. They figured it out, but after a while, they followed me. They said, wait a minute, where did he go? Coins and stuff, I'd get their attention on something else, and I'd make it disappear. These magic acts, but there was wonder. But see, the thing is, they grow up and they learn the tricks. What's behind the curtain? What's the sleight of hand? Oh, we just saw your hand move. We saw what you did there. And the wonder's gone. But you know, the problem is that's what we do in the church. That's what we do in our lives. We keep thinking, oh, well, God always moves this way. There's no more wonder. Yeah, we'll get to heaven someday. But right now, we got to go to the water pot and take it to the well and get some water, because that's what we got to do right now. Maybe there's some time to wonder some other time, but not for us, because life becomes more of just doing and getting by. And then when those waves come, you know, those waves of depression, or maybe the waves of the attack of the enemy, or temptation, or struggles, or just life. Every day it happens. We lose something. We lose our focus. And we lose our wonder. We all do. And again, the Lord reminds us, do you see me? Do you believe that I can do all? And I came specifically for you. For I sought you. And I saw your sarcasm. I sought you in all your questions. I sought you in all your sin. I sought you in all your pain. I sought you. Do you see me? Oh, I hope this message penetrates all of our hearts. That every day we wake up with wonder and worship. That every day that we kneel before Him in submission to the King.
sorry if I'm not finding this fast enough. Since it popped in my little noggin, I will conclude with it. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, the honor and glory forever and ever. Father, we just thank you for these truths. We pray, Father, that you would continue to teach us through your Son, Lord, what it truly means to be a worshiper. You have given your Son as our Redeemer, as our bridge, as our King, as our Lord, as our focus. And each of us pray this morning, Lord, that our lives now would be centered upon him, that we would be true worshipers, called by your grace to enter into your kingdom, for your blessed truth, for the hope that lies within us, and for the King that reigns in our hearts. It's in him, it's for him, it's by him that we come, and it's in his name we pray and praise you. Amen.